I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Michael Cremo. One of his books, of course, The Forbidden Archaeologist. Books are all available through his website, Amazon. Just go check them out. Michael, about a month ago, the government released its report on unidentified aerial phenomena, and it didn't really say too much. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think you're absolutely right about that. There was so much hype. You know, everyone was expecting something more than I think actually happened. All they essentially said is what they've always been saying. Yeah, there are unidentified aerial phenomena, but they're not ready to say these things are made by intelligent beings from other planets. It seems the most they're willing to say is, well, yes, there are some things we can't explain at the present moment, but we think we will be able to explain them. And yeah, they may be aerial phenomena, weather phenomena, something like that, or perhaps technological developments made by other countries like China and North Korea or Russia, for example, or perhaps different agencies of our own government have these technologies that they have developed. That's basically what they said. And there may be some things that we can't explain at the present moment, but the explanations are most likely to be the ones I just listed.
Yep, absolutely. So, and were you disappointed in the report?
I kind of expected it in advance for it to be pretty much what it was. I think I may have even said so on some interviews that I did in the months leading up to the release. So I wasn't very surprised. Now, as far as I'm concerned, there are UFOs that come from other planets, other dimensions. I think they do exist. And there may be some scientists, a few of them, that are prepared to admit that. Now, for example, there was this Professor Loeb, Avi Loeb from Harvard University,
yes,
the astronomy department there, a couple years ago, when this object flew by the Earth called the, I think it's called the Oumuamua,
whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah, he said that could very likely be a probe from another planet in another solar system. Not our own, that entered our solar system and is being propelled by solar winds. And, so there are some few scientists who are prepare to admit these things. But I think this most recent report, although it's good in the sense that they acknowledge that some of these unidentified aerial phenomena were recorded by military pilots.
That's right.
Did show up on radar. Yeah, they did make some interesting admissions, but as far as what they actually are, I don't think that any expectations that they were going to say these are extraterrestrial objects made by some extraterrestrial intelligence. I don't think that if anybody was expecting that, it didn't happen.
Michael, before the break, when you were talking about the ancient Sanskrits, didn't Robert Oppenheimer, the father of our atomic bomb, use those Sanskrits to prove to himself that there was an atomic bomb detonated way gone back?
It appears that way. And in addition to being a great physicist who was part of the American program to develop an atomic bomb during World War II, in addition to being a physicist, he was a student of the ancient Sanskrit writings of India. And when the first atomic bomb, well, supposedly the first atomic bomb was tested at Alamogordo in New Mexico in 1945, he was in the bunker when it was set off. And there was this huge flash of light and huge blast. And, you know, he began quoting some Sanskrit verses from a text called the Bhagavad Gita. And, you know, where it compared this to the light of a million suns. They were describing a weapon that, you know, these ancient Sanskrit writings describe a weapon that was used in ancient times called the Brahmastra. And in the Puranas and the Bhagavad Gita, you know, there are verses that say when such a thing happens, it's like you have a million suns all at one place. You know, so you can imagine the power of a million suns. That sort of sounds like pretty much what happens when an atomic bomb is set off. So, yeah, he was interested in that. And actually, I've got an offer on my website. Anybody gets my most recent book, My Science, My Religion, from my website, mcremer.com, will be able to get a free copy of Bhagavad Gita. And
you still there, Michael?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe I lost you. Let me ask you this. What is called a science term epistemology?
Well, that's the branch of philosophy that tells us how we know what we think we know. So it's really a foundational issue in science. How do we get knowledge? What's evidence? What's not evidence? That's the whole branch of science and philosophy that deals with that question. And part of that has to do with what actually exists. Now, many scientists today are committed to an epistemology that recognizes only the existence of gross physical matter. They're not prepared to accept the existence of consciousness as something that can exist apart from matter. So if they start out with that assumption, it kind of limits the kinds of explanations they can offer for things. And they're having a big problem accounting for the existence of consciousness in that way. They keep trying to show that it's just the result of chemical interactions in the brain, but they've never been able to demonstrate that, actually. So it's something that we have to be aware of, that if we have certain preconceptions about what the limits of evidence are, then we can't really say we're considering all the possibilities.
Michael Cremo with us, the forbidden archaeologist. We're going to take calls next hour with Michael, so make sure you're part of the program on that. What would you say is one of the most compelling cases from forbidden archaeology that you really just think this is it?
Well, I think one of the really compelling cases is the discoveries that were made in the Red Crag Formation in England, on the east coast of England. These discoveries were made in the 1920s by a researcher named James Reed Moyer, M-O-I-R. He was an investigator who did research in the Red Crag Formation, which according to modern geologists is about 2 million years old. And there had been some previous discoveries in this formation at a place called Foxhall in eastern England. For example, a human jawbone was found in the Red Crag at Foxhall, 16 feet deep in the Red Crag Formation. And as I said, scientists today think that formation is about 2 million years old and maybe even older. So to have humans existing 2 million years ago completely contradicts the now dominant theories. And it's kind of interesting. J. Reed Moore had also discovered all kinds of stone tools and artifacts in those formations. And an international commission of scientists, of the leading archaeologists and geologists of Europe, gathered together to judge this case. And they concluded it was genuine, that these discoveries made by J. Reed Moore are genuine discoveries. But it sort of got swept under the rug, by this process of knowledge filtration, so that these discoveries aren't really mentioned anymore. So that I found to be quite a significant case, because it's very well documented.
In your opinion, where does this take us in the future with regards to a civilization or civilizations that were much older than what most people think? What do you think happened to them, Michael? Where'd they go?
Very interesting question. And where it leads, I believe, is that it leads to an understanding that there's a cyclical aspect to time. Western science was basically based on linear time, which comes out of the Judeo-Christian cosmology. Basically, they had a picture in that cosmology where things happen in a linear fashion. God creates the universe, then God creates the first living things, the plants, and then the animals, and then the human beings. And the human beings are in a fallen state, so they have to be delivered. So a Messiah comes to deliver them, and then there's a final judgment. And then it's all over. And it just happens once, and it happens in that very linear way. So modern science basically accepted it, because it grew up in Europe at a time when it was under this Judeo-Christian cosmology, and they more or less just adopted the same story, but stripped God and the soul out of it, so that they have, yeah, the universe pops into existence by the Big Bang, not that God creates it, it just happens. And then...
Which I still don't understand, by the way. The Big Bang, I just will never get.
Yeah. That's a whole different question. Forbidden. Yeah,
that's two shows all by itself.
Yeah, that could be a show all by itself. So basically, first the plants come, then the animals, then the human beings, and they're in a fallen state, and they're going to be saved by science, and then it's going to be all over. You know, the heat death of the universe, and it's basically the same story. But in other cultures, there's the idea of cyclical time, that things happen again and again and again. You know, it's like, you know, in Plato's work, the Timaeus is one of the dialogues of Plato. He talks about the Greek politician, Solon, who went to Egypt and was talking to the Egyptian priest about the history of Greece. And he was explaining how, yeah, in the beginning, there was a first man and first woman, and then civilization arose, and the Egyptian priest told them, you've just got part of your history. Here in Egypt, we have records of your history going back far before. You're just recording what happened after the last devastation.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.